Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
And this is Devin Leary.
We are going to do a new segment today on the pod, and it's something that... It came from the twisted mind of Devin Leary, but we wanted to do some recommendations.
Yes, and my friend and friend of the pod, Tess Sitzman, always says she loves a mid-brow rom-com, and so that's where the phrasing came from. But we wanted to give you guys a three-category recommendation for the week. The three categories being highbrow, midbrow, and lowbrow. Because as you may or may not know, we like to dabble in all three categories. For myself, it's more often in the low area.
Sometimes I sink to low. When we are coming up with our suggestions for this week, watching Devin try to choose from the lowbrow category, she just was scanning her brain and there was too much information in there.
As Benedict Cumberbatch's Sherlock Holmes would say, I went into my mind palace and I reached around in there and I came up with some gems.
There's so
for you
many.
Guys.
There's almost too many gems.
There's too many.
So to start it off, we're going to go with the highbrow. Listen,
get it out of the way.
I, like many people, we only have so much time to read. In between doing my 20 minutes of yoga every few days, in between catching up on episodes of Law and Order that I've seen upwards of 15 times.
Yes.
In between making some dinner. It takes me about a full hour to make a simple pasta with cheese sauce.
Yum.
So good. I once in a while try to read. In between scanning Instagram and thinking about what kind of high-waisted underwear I want to get next, which I'm thinking it will be Skims.
Don't you think that's uncomfortable? Remember our high-waisted conversation?
High-waisted underwear is different for me.
Okay.
I mean, it makes me feel compact.
Okay. Sorry, scientific questions only. Sorry.
I take sometimes a second to read. And in my opinion, when anyone says that they're reading a book right now, they're trying to show you that they're smart.
Right now? How about ever?
No one casually says that.
No one casually reads.
I mean, if they do, then they went to... fucking Harvard, Yale, Harvard.
Harvard's the only fun one to say in a Boston accent.
Harvard.
Harvard, Cornell.
Take your Charlie card, you gonna go to Harvard?
Wait, so I don't think anyone's casually read since a flat screen TV was invented. Ever since then, it's like you only do it for reputation purposes, for to make yourself that kind of girl who reads, right?
Yeah, I'm that kind of girl. Sometimes I read and then I check what page number I'm on to see how far I have left. So my highbrow recommendation would be a book called Hidden Valley Road. It's a long, folks. Okay. It's almost 400 pages long, which is usually too long for my little old dingle dongle brain. but it's fascinating. It's basically a story about a family's journey with mental illness. And at literally the first page of the first chapter, I closed it and I said, that was too much, already too much for me. I get easily stimulated by too much pain. It's why I can't really watch war movies anymore. Even Thor Ragnarok made me wince a few times. So I need a lot, you know, mid-brow rom-coms really are of my palate, what my palate responds to. So, but I ventured to keep reading, and it was really fascinating. It was really, it's opened my eyes to a lot about how we need to advocate more for the mentally ill community and their families and the stigma around it. And I, it kind of reads like a mystery. So I recommend that.
Great. I've got it on Audible. I'm ready to listen to that 400 pages on double speed.
Devin, what's your highbrow recommendation?
So I've been watching The Wire. I honestly, right now, most of the time, all I can think about is Baltimore. I've literally become obsessed with it. Season 4 is about the school system in Baltimore. I texted my friend Haley, who is getting her PhD in education policy, and I was like, basically, can you tell me about these education policies that are from The Wire? And she sent me all these voice memos about it. And then she recommended this book called How Racism Takes Place. She recommended it to me, and she also said it has a chapter about The Wire in it. So obviously I started with that chapter. It's How Racism Takes Place by George Lipsitz. And it's just so fucking good. So I really, really recommend that and The Wire, which are both, I think, highbrow things.
That is very highbrow. I think white people are always scared to read about racism because in a way it makes us look at our own wretchedness, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think that's important to do, or else we won't move beyond it. And when I say our wretchedness, I don't mean active racism. I mean the ignorance of it as well.
I also think, just like, for personally speaking, like, there's so many policies that I'm like, oh, I disagree with that, or like, that policy is bad, I don't like that type of policy. But have I really ever taken the time to like learn what it actually entails and like what it requires? And I think like that's a lot of what the show The Wire is about, is like everything matters. Like, there's a scene where these two cops are talking and about this instance where like one small action by one cop caused this huge amount of like harm. So the other cop is talking to him and saying like, it did matter, like everything that we do matters. And so I think, you know, we have to try to understand the policy of this all. For me, it's like so appealing to like see an infographic on Instagram, yes, like skim over it and be like, oh yeah, oh my God, okay, so this policy is bad, defund the police, post. And it's like, no, I need to understand why this policy is bad, why this keeps happening, why no one will advocate for it. Like, I agree with Bernie Sanders' education policy. Why? What about it is different?
And right.
So that's kind of what I'm trying to do. And for me, it's easier to pick specific things to focus on instead of like broad scope. I kind of get overwhelmed with broad scope stuff. So it's like, right now I'm focusing on education and learning about that. And then I'll move on to the next thing, I guess. Anyway.
Speaking of moving on to the next thing, mid-brow people. Devin, what's your mid-brow take?
My mid-brow this week is a show called Industry on HBO Max. I'm sure that those creators might take offense to the fact that I'm saying it's mid-brow, but to me it is. And
you're going to get a really emotional, lengthy post from Lena Dunham.
I know. I'm sorry, Lena Dunham. To me, it's mid-brow, but I have to say, like, it's porn. Okay, so here's what I'll say. So there's been times where I've been like, can I just like search like the hot scenes from movies? I know that that's so,
that's
like,
all I really do,
babyish, but it's like, can I just search like the scene where Leonardo DiCaprio and Vera Farmiga first make out?
Yes,
in The
thank
Departed.
You one of the best.
So, or like just watch Blue is the Warmest Color or something. So yeah. To me, Industry was that. It was like, okay, like financial jargon, blah, 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 blah. And then like really weird, intense sexual tension, really kinky, weird, interesting sexual dynamics, empowering women. There's so many like will they or won't they's. There's so many forbidden love dynamics. There's like cheating dynamics. It's just all so like intense. And I just was like, okay, like I cannot watch this in my family's home right now.
Yeah.
So that's my lowbrow. And I also think it's a good show. Like I don't know. For me, I wasn't there for the plots. I was there for the scenes in the bathroom at work. But other people were there for the plots.
I have to say this at the same time. I'm starting to think that sex on TV or in movies is boring. Like, this I feel like my adolescence was so like obsessed with like, oh my God, is it rated R? Why? If it's not for sexual content, then I'm not going. And now I'm just sort of like, enough
Carol,
already.
We can cut this out, but basically there's a storyline where like this girl is in a relationship. I love this storyline so much. It's this girl is in a relationship with this guy who doesn't make her feel sexual. Like he's like kind of wants her to be like this like trophy girlfriend. And he actually watches a lot of porn, but he won't have like kinky sex with her. Like she wants to do choking and all this stuff and he won't do it. And so she starts having this like flirting dynamic with this guy at work. And she basically like doms him. Like she starts like telling him to do fucked up stuff and he does all of it. And like there's like this one scene where they're in the bathroom and she's like telling him what to do. Like she's like, okay, now jerk yourself off. Like now do this. And she doesn't even touch him. She's just watching him. And then she's like, oh my God, sorry. Like you think I took it too far. And he was like, no. And I was like, okay, like this is so, first of all, so relatable, the relationship where he made her
yes.
feel
like ashamed not, of like any weird instinct she had.
Yeah, but also I was just like, this is such a like hot dynamic that they're like, they just like text each other to do weird shit and then they do it.
That's really cool. And that makes me want to watch the show. The dynamic of the guy who watches porn but doesn't want like the girl that he's with to do anything that crazy.
That's exactly it.
And then the girl who feels thus guilty for doing it that's really interesting. My midbrow thing is so different. It is, I have been working out, as I said, 20 minutes every few days. I really push myself. And one of the things I've liked is yoga to videos. So I don't know if you guys know about this, but you can find videos on YouTube and that's free. So you can do something called Yoga with Adrian. You can also do yoga with Sky Ting Yoga. You don't have to do all these subscriptions. You can find these trainers who have subscriptions. It's something that makes me feel basic because literally every woman I know has taken a Yoga with Adrian class and she has a beautiful little gray dog. And at the same time, when you lean into the basic, sometimes it feels good. Sometimes it's basic because everyone does it because it feels good.
Because it's
Ann Taylor Loft makes sensible cardigans. I don't want any floofy, snappy stuff, okay? The clothing line Mango makes simple dresses where there's nothing holding in my waist and I get to breathe freely. And I would say doing yoga on YouTube is something that has helped me. Now, I've got to also shout out to Megan Roop. She does something called the Sculpt Society. And it's so funny looking at what workout videos used to say and how far we've come in terms of how addressing women's bodies. Tracy, wait, what are you pulling up right now?
My Ann Taylor Loft legging pants. Strong recommend.
Exactly. Exactly. And Megan Roop on the Sculpt Society, listen, I used to do Tracy Anderson videos. Tracy Anderson literally was all about having, quote unquote, the perfect body. I tried to go with her diet plan that she gave Gwyneth Paltrow, and she starved me. She starved me. She was like, have 2 egg whites in the morning with spinach.
Ew.
And then have salmon for dinner. And like, it was so nuts. I was so hungry. Megan Roop is very different. She literally says in one of her videos, if you're doing this to get a thigh gap, know that that's not realistic and that's not how bodies work. Thank you. That's all I need to hear. I'm not going to worry about my thighs touching. And at the same time, Tracy Anderson used to say, I remember I used to have one of her DVDs, and in the DVD she said, I created this DVD because I realized there's no exercise program that teaches women to have the perfect body. Meanwhile, Megan Roop, the Sculpt Society, literally recommends a book that my therapist recommended me called Women, Food, and God, all about intuitive eating and, you know, how the dieting industry is repulsive. So, medium brow. Listen, your time's probably better spent reading about the effed up education system. But if you need to work out, I would say do your 20-minute videos. Okay? It's fun. You don't have to argue yourself out of it because it's just 20 minutes and you feel good. Devin, what are you going to pick for your lowbrow?
Well, first of all, I want to say I really like Urban 728 Yoga on YouTube, and it was recommended on one of my favorite podcasts, Bitch Sesh. So that's the yoga that I do on video on days that aren't like today where I ate ice cream at 11 a.m. Yeah, my lowbrow, I really reached around in there. Today, I watched Summer House. That's a great lowbrow recommendation. Summer House on Bravo. But I also came across a gift today. By the way, I have to do the lowbrow one day at a time because it's like, if you want me to go into yesterday, that's a whole different set of lowbrow recommendations. That's, come on. So today's lowbrow recommendation is, so I have had a struggle with TLC shows watchability because some of the TLC shows have been on Netflix at different points. Now all of them go on Hulu, but not for like a year after the season premieres. I haven't had cable in 2 years, I guess, 2.5 years. So the TLC app is garbage. It's garbaggio. There's 75 commercials. One time I wanted to show, as a normal person does, I wanted to show 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days to my boyfriend so he could see one of my main passions in life. And we had to get through so many commercials that he lost interest. Otherwise, I'm sure he would have loved this show because who wouldn't? I mean, he's watching people in a third world country in deep poverty trying to marry a middle class white guy from Tampa so that they can get out of their third world country and come to America where they will only find that they can only live in a depressing trailer community. I mean, who wouldn't love this? So I know he would have loved it if it wasn't for all the commercials. So anyway, so I'm always like, this is sucks because then meanwhile, my close friend Anto has been texting me, I have to watch the 1,000 Pound Sisters. He's like, 1,000 Pound Sisters is better than 600 Pound Life.
Devin, you have to choose one lowbrow thing.
Okay, so I'm saying, like, I've been wanting to watch 1,000 Pound Sisters. I see there's a new season of Sister Wives. What am I going to do? This is all for the same one lowbrow recommendation. So today I Google search, watch TLC. And I see that there's something called the Discovery Plus app. And it was like, stream TLC commercial free. So I'm like, okay, you got me there. I'm going to check this out. I'm going to do a little click and see what this is. I click on it. It's basically Netflix, but only for trash barrel shows that I like. So it's like TLC, Investigation Discovery. I'm sure Lifetime's on there. All I saw was TLC and Investigation Discovery. And I was like, okay, sign me up, sign me up, sign me up, sign me up. So I pay for a free trial. It's for 1 month. I'm probably going to move forward, but who knows? And I'm just like, wait, this is so overwhelming. My one complaint. So today I got to watch Sister Wives. I got to watch a little bit of 90 Day Fiancé. I honestly never watched Sister Wives past season 8. So I'm going back to season 9 of Sister Wives. But the new season of 90 Day Fiancé is not on the Discovery Plus app. And I don't know why. So I wish someone could give me that information.
If anyone's listening, if any Discovery Plus execs are listening.
But it's also like literally the top like tiers of the thing is relationships, food, true crime, paranormal, and then home, which I'm not going to watch any of the home shows, but sometimes I like to watch Chip and Joanna. But so anyway, it's just like that's everything I like. Like, so I could click on paranormal when I'm feeling like I want to watch like some weird Rob Lowe like investigating ghosts thing. I can click on true crime when I want to watch Twisted Sisters, Khloe Kardashian's true crime show about sisters who kill people. I could click on TLC when I want to watch.
Okay, we're going to get to more lowbrow recommendations, but for now, you're recommending Discovery Plus.
Yes.
Okay. I'm only turning your mic off because I don't want you
it's only
to
been
blow
half an
your
hour.
Load, so to speak.
Wait, it's only been 30 minutes.
I don't want you to spoil future lowbrow recommendations.
Okay,
for
1,000 Pound
listeners.
Sisters. Supposed to be good.
My lowbrow would be the Instagram account of Dumois, our modern day gossip girl. She posts tips that people email her. Now, this is both something I love and something I hate. I love because I'm always looking for something juicy, something good. I hate because I have to dig through so many stupid stories of people who are like, I met Stanley Tucci at a Broadway after show. He was so nice and took a picture with me and my sister. Great guy. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. I want to hear plastic surgery rumors. I want to hear about group relationships. I want to hear what the Riverdale kids are up to. I want to hear about terrible, horrific behavior on set. I don't want to hear about these freaking meet and greets. And people are like, I have to stand up for Alexander Skarsgård. He actually is a really nice guy. Once I tripped and he helped me get up. I don't care. Now they're like pushing promotions. And one of my favorites was like, I hear the industry only does reboots now. Can anyone tell me about that? And people who are like, assistant at an agency here, people are doing reboots because there's a built-in audience. I'm like, I don't care about this. I'll read a freaking trade magazine. I just want to know stupid, stupid stuff.
Yeah.
So I wish Dumas would go lower some days. And I don't need to know about nice celebrities. Okay?
I totally agree. I think it's obvious that sometimes they'll post like, so-and-so is an asshole. They stole a present from a party. Then like 10 other people post, I've heard the same thing. I've heard this person's an asshole too. I've heard this. It's like, okay.
Wait, I like that because I like corroboration. But then I worry that it's the same person with different email addresses.
No. But I think it's not even corroboration. I think people like latch onto that and they're like, oh, I can make up a story easily.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like, who are these people?
Dumois is flawed. Do I go to it for an escape from my daily realities of life and errands, etc.? Yes. Yes. And I'm excited every time I see that red circle around the profile. Even shitting on Dumois, I can't wait to check it later. We have to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to be back with our guest today, who is amazing. And I'll just say, every time, I will say it happened at least 3 times in the past week, I've seen a funny tweet and I've thought, who said that? That's so funny. And it's our guest.
Yes.
She's just a very good joke writer and a very cool, sincere person. So we will be right back and we can't wait to introduce you guys.
I want you.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Stadtsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep experts. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Welcome back to True Romance. Let's get into our guest for today.
Our guest today on True Romance is a writer, performer, and comedian. Her digital shorts on social media have gone viral. That means like a virus, they have spread many times. And you may have seen her insufferably incredible Brooklyn Mom sketches that are truly a revelation. You can't look away. She's also performed off-Broadway in The Maid's Tragedy, Indian Head in the OKC Reading Series, and she's working on her own play, Woods on Fire. Please welcome Sydney Battle.
That was quite an introduction. I don't know if you can tell, I'm blushing.
Wow. Aww. I mean, you truly have been a gift to us all during this quarantine time. It's like every day I go on social media and I'm like, please, like, let me sift through the doom, gloom, horrific revelations about how horrible our systems in America are. And then I see one thing that like really makes my day and makes me laugh so hard. And that was your first Brooklyn Mom video, which I watched 10,000 times probably.
That's very, very flattering, like truly deeply flattering, especially because I was so wayward when I recorded that video. I didn't know what I was doing with my life. I had decided I was going to move to LA, but I didn't have any job set up. I didn't have any representation. I didn't know what I was going to do. You know, UCB is dead. Yeah, I don't know what I'll do. And so I just put on that wig and I made my dad follow me around our kitchen, and I didn't write any of it beforehand. I just made him follow me around for like 5 minutes,
and that then is I just amazing.
Edited it together, and it was like striking lightning.
Sydney does this impersonation of a Brooklyn Heights mom that is, it skewers. By the way, I grew up in Brooklyn Heights. I mean, this
Did
was like
really?
The 90s. Yes. But Whoa. Your portrayal of a Brooklyn Heights mom truly made me want to crawl out of my skin, leave the U.S. I was like, how did she get it so right? I want to specifically shout out some details. A, that your son's name is Atticus, the Brooklyn mom.
I met many an Atticus when babysitting in Brooklyn Heights.
Oh, my God.
So amazing.
So Renee, the Brooklyn mom.
Yes.
We wanted to ask you, since this is a romance podcast, what you think her marriage is like with Atticus's dad.
I think, did you ever watch Sex and the City?
Of course.
Yeah, I'm so familiar with that program.
Oh, good. Yes, that old program.
We're cinephiles, so yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Film buffs.
I watched the Criterion Network.
It should be in the Criterion collection. So you know how Charlotte's husband, Harry, just kind of listens to everything she says?
100%.
And just like lets her go and go. So I think he has that quality, but he's also just like a douchey. Like before we found out how horrific Armie Hammer is as a person, that's who I imagine.
We always knew there was something.
We knew there was something, but I think he's that type of dude. But also mixed with like a Matthew McConaughey and a stock bro. Do you know what I mean? Like this dude thinks he's super progressive and hip and cool.
Yes.
But he's the king of capitalism, and he comes from
fiscally
a very wealthy
conservative
family.
He says he's Republican because of like because of the economy, not that other stuff. I mean, people can do whatever they want.
But he never beat up the gay kids at boarding school.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. But he did kill a girlfriend once. and a horrific car accident and then moved her to the front seat because he was drunk.
Oh my
Sorry
God.
To know all these specifics about his
You know
life.
About her. You know about her husband. How? I'm wondering. Yeah, no, that sounds accurate. That's who I imagine him to be. I don't know if I make, if I do make any more videos, I don't know if we'll ever see Atticus because I think it's funnier if he's never seen.
Yes.
And then I don't know. I feel like if I introduced someone playing the husband, I'd have to keep that man around. And I
right.
just don't
oh, yeah.
like the idea of my comedy being right dependent now. On a man.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure.
I think that Renee can really hold her own no matter who's there, whether she's talking to her fellow gals from Brooklyn Heights or Atticus mm-hmm. or the world.
The babysitter, yeah.
The babysitter.
It physically hurts me to do that face. And when that video first went viral, people were like comparing my face to, what are they called? Gelflings, which are, I think, there's something from Labyrinth.
Oh.
Like they're like little, I don't know, they're little like elf creatures. And they were also comparing it to Momo, that weird thing that was rumored to be haunting children, but it wasn't.
What?
And
I won't
someone,
be Googling this.
You'll have to Google Momo, but they were, some guys were like, damn, like, she does this with no effort. She just looks like that. And I was like, no, like, fuck you. I don't look like that.
I don't look like this.
I'm a
I don't look
good
like this.
Performer.
I do not sound like this.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to hold my face like that. And it hurts me. One guy was, to no one, just responding to the video, said, I'm really conflicted. I'm attracted to this actress,
oh my God.
I think.
Oh
but
my
she's
God.
So good at this that I'm turned off. And I responded and I said, sir, because truly, who asked?
Exactly.
And what the fuck?
Like, there's actually no conflict for you at all because that has zero to do with you. And it is not a question you should be asking yourself. So I don't understand.
I have to comment also on another. I was stalking you on Twitter and I was watching your, it's the concept alone is incredible. Sydney made a short film and it's narrated by a guy who was mansplaining to her about the history of beauty. And so it's like this beautiful black and white film and over it is like this obnoxious man's voice that's like, beauty 5,000 years old. Okay, so look at you. It's not just your face. It's coming through you. It's coming through your soul. And Sydney
beauty.
Is going like, uh-huh, yeah.
Beauty is inside really? All of us.
It's this really great short. And then people were commenting like, we don't, like literally guys were mansplaining to you that he was not mansplaining. They're like, it's
oh,
mean
yeah.
to record it. And finally you were like, wait, can you guys just like trust me when I say he was mansplaining to me?
Can I trust you when I tell you this man is extremely creepy? I've encountered him many times. He gives me the same speech every time, but he makes it even creepier somehow. I do not like him. He's done a lot of, he literally was kicked out of the space that I worked in. Like he wasn't allowed back. And so I was like, you know, it's a pandemic. He's never allowed back. I don't even know if I'm keeping this job. So whatever. And
skewer him.
But the weirdest commenters, in my opinion, were the women who would say stuff like, he just seems like a sweet old grandpa. I would hug
oh
him
God.
Right now if I could.
Ah.
Yeah.
I think it's, I was like, does this sound like a normal conversation to anyone? Like he's just like talking at a woman about like the history of beauty and not letting her get a word in.
Not that
it's
I would even
so
want
weird.
To, but like also people accused me of luring him in because of how my voice sounds.
Oh,
they were like,
my
well,
God.
You were being really flirtatious
oh,
and you
my
were,
God.
You were talking like that intentionally. And I was like, this is literally just my voice. I
that's
nope.
so crazy. Oh, the
it's
human
so
race
upsetting.
Really reveals itself on Twitter, unfortunately. So today on True Romance, we wanted to talk about a subject that we love, Devin and I being two recovered liars, and that is the extreme sport, if you will, of lying.
Oh yeah. It is it's a skill, I will say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very
and even
much
if
so.
You think you're good at it, sometimes you're really bad at it in my case.
So wait, with you, you think you're really good at it, but you in actuality
are not. I always
thought
I was really good at it. Yeah. I mean, we can get into this, but I'm fascinated with like pathological liars and I'll connect that to another passion of mine, which is Munchausen's. And there's a really beautiful relationship between the two. And it's the shamelessness and like the absolute refusal to acknowledge that everyone knows you're lying. I really like love that aspect of some liars where it's just, who is the actress from The Good Place who says that she's been attacked by bees 3 times?
Jameela Jamil.
Yeah. She's like, yes, like swarms of bees have attacked me 3 times. And I'm like, you are insulting my intelligence by asking me to believe this, but I cannot look away.
The thing is, like, that's not even that crazy of a thing to say. It's just all in the context of how you frame it. Because, like, my little sister has been swarmed by bees 2 or 3 times because she was helping my dad in the yard and they stepped on a hive. That's not that unbelievable. But if she's just saying that random bees have swarmed her, that's insane. But
well,
on
they've
that,
not only swarmed her, they've led her into 2 separate car accidents.
Yeah, like it's okay. it's like a yeah, multi-layer story.
See, that's too much.
And I think there's like, I think it was like someone questioned the car accident story and then she added the bees, or someone questioned the bees and then she added the car accident and was like, no, it's actually this. And it just got crazier and crazier. So
they're just, I'm hot take. I think to be a good liar, you can't enjoy it too much.
Right.
Oh,
because
interesting.
I think people who love lying, you know that that person's a liar. Like, you know that that's what they do, and they think they're so good at it, and they're not. I think you have to be conflicted about it. I don't know.
I always lied. In dating situations out of nervousness. Like, it always came from a place of lack where, like, I wasn't, like, enough. So I had to add, like, some flair or something. And – or if they asked me a question that I thought – basically, once a boyfriend asked me, like, do you have – oh, you drive, right? Like, you drive in L.A. Could have said, no, I actually don't. Instead, I was like, oh, yeah, yes. I gave away my car, so I don't have my car right now. But, I know how to drive.
No,
I didn't play the tape forward. Like, I didn't think, like, this is a guy I'm dating now. And so 2 years into the relationship, he's like, why can't you drive right now? Like, I don't want to drive. And I was like, because I get car sick while I drive.
You dug into it.
To the point where, like, everyone knew I was lying. I mean, I was literally had to tell people around to, by the way, to our listeners and to Sydney, I was 19. Full-blown alcoholic, so we can only judge me so much. But at this point, like, who gives a fuck that I can't drive? Like, the crazy thing is that I lied about it. Like, that's the weird thing at this point. And I can't. It only took me until, like, I was sober. I, like, understood how stupid it all was that I was, like, lying about something like that. And we had broken up and we're having, like, dinner one night just, like, catching up. And I was like, wait, this is so weird, but, like, I never had my driver's license, by the way. And he was like, of course you didn't. And why didn't you just tell me? It would have made zero difference. You never drove. And I was like, I don't, like, none of this math is adding up. I have no idea why. But it was my first relationship and one that I felt very insecure in. So there was a lot of weird little things like that. Like, I think at one point he said something like, do you have any hidden talents? Which already I was insulted by.
Why would
he
ask that? Like, is this fucking Miss America pageant?
I was like, I can juggle fire. No, I said I did not know what to say. And I already felt like, okay, he doesn't think I can do enough. And I knew his ex-girlfriend was like this amazing artist. So I was like, I'm an amazing singer. And
that's,
he was like,
so
really?
Easy to disprove, though. Like, you're picking lies that are, just have no longevity.
She's picking the low-hanging fruit and also, like, zero reward. Like, I don't get
awful.
I don't
you're
get the reward of, like,
fail.
Pretending you can drive or pretending you can sing. Like, the reward of singing is belting out a fucking anthem at karaoke and everyone is like, oh my God, Carolina actually has an amazing voice. Or the joy is singing on the stage of America's Got Talent, golden buzzer, buzz, 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 sobbing, golden confetti. Like, that's the joy of singing, from what I understand.
And from what I've seen, yeah.
You didn't get any of that by just pretending you can do it.
And then it was awkward because I dated this guy for 2 years. Could not sing around him.
You can't sing around him.
What did you do when it was people's birthdays and you had to sing happy birthday?
I was like, hell.
You do a goofy one? Yeah, you did a goofy voice.
Oh. No, I literally, like, I think finally I was just sick of not singing along to the radio and would start singing. And then it became less of she lied, I think, and more of does she think
she's
that
deluded.
Is really good singing?
You seem crazy regardless.
Like, she's deluded. Oh my God.
That would be my, she's, it makes me so uncomfortable when people think that they're really good at something and they're, because that's my deepest fear. My deepest yes. fear is that I am actually mediocre at the thing I love to do, which is why yes. I think Frances Ha is a horror movie. Like, I can't watch Frances Ha. It makes me upset.
Yeah.
Because she's average at what she wants to do for the rest of her life.
I know.
And so, like, it makes me deeply uncomfortable when someone thinks that they're the best at something and they are just not good at all.
Well, that's, like, the horror of, like, going to see improv sometimes.
Yes.
I mean.
And being on a team sometimes.
Oh, my God.
Like.
Yeah.
Oof.
It's why I actually, like, love stand-up comedy, and I loved doing stand-up comedy for a very short period, but I hated the atmosphere of stand-up comedy so much for that reason. It was like all of the really cool, funny people are so insecure, and all of these other people are so fucking confident and have zero right to be, and it just struck me as such a massive imbalance of power.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Speaking of lies, I was talking to this guy and I don't know how we got on the topic. We were talking about the first time we had sex or like losing our virginities or whatever. And he had asked me if I told the guy that I was going to have sex with that it was my first time. And I was like, no, why would I tell him that? Like, of course I didn't. And he was like, why do girls do that? Like, I don't understand. And I was like, Why would I tell this dude that it's my first time? Like,
right.
If it's not like a boyfriend I've been with since high school.
Right.
So cute and blah, 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 blah. No, I can't relate to that. And so, like, I think that's one of the most common lies that we tell, right?
That we're, like, more experienced than we are sexually.
That we're more experienced than we are, especially in, like, new relationships or situations.
Sure. I told my high school boyfriend, who was, like, my first sexual experience, that I'd, like, I was like, oh, yeah, I've hooked up with a bunch of, like, older guys. Meanwhile, it's, like, fast forward, like, rewind 6 months, and I was still playing with Barbies, so, no.
How old were you?
I mean, I just played with Barbies when I was really old. I was, okay. like, 16 when we met.
See,
I was 14 when
fun.
I stopped playing with Barbies. If you,
This is fun because I love that you were fully in a relationship at that point. I did not receive attention from a man at all until I was, like, probably 18. Like,
same.
Was not flirted with.
Same.
I was also in a very, I don't know if we can, we're the same on those two. I don't know if we can relate to this last one. I was in a very white environment. And so I
Devin,
was
Yeah,
just,
I relate. No, I'm just seeing what Devin looks like.
Devin gets
Wait,
it.
Let me interrupt you for a second. Okay, so my experience, no, I'm kidding.
I went to high school with people, this is making me flashback, but who talked exactly like that. Like, I'd be sharing a racist experience that had happened, and then someone would be like, well, actually, one time when we were in third grade, you blocked me from getting on the slide, and I've never forgotten that. I wish I was fucking kidding. That literally
what?
Happened to me. And then my friend's mom goes, okay, maybe we don't interrupt Sydney when she's sharing an experience about overcoming racism.
Oh,
maybe we don't do that.
God. Wait, where did you grow up?
Yeah, right outside of DC. Did you watch season 2 of Pen 15?
Yes.
You know the pathological liar best
yes.
friend? I had one of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from we met in 8th grade and we became best friends, and she stayed my best friend through most of college. We're still pretty, well, I haven't talked to her in a while, but we were pretty close for a while. But yeah, she, I had two pathological best friends, actually, because I also had one from ages 5 or 6 through 10. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that that was like such a good portrayal in that show, because I don't even know how to describe it, but it started out so funny. Like, it was like, oh my God, this girl is like that classic spoiled girl that you know. And then it got darker and darker. And like, just that is what it's like to meet these people, I feel like, is that you're like, okay, like, that's weird. I don't know. This is
There's
weird.
There's always something super dark happening in their home.
Like, yeah. Yes, and then like, yes, as things progress, you're like, wait, this is actually like really dark, I think.
Yeah. And it was interesting for me to live through it and then see it in Pen 15. Also because like I was in a very chaotic home. And so I was in a way lying every day because I go to school and I was like depressed as a kid. I had horrible anxiety, but no one was really paying attention to me until something big would happen. And then they'd pull me into like the guidance counselor's office and be like, what's wrong? Will you tell us what's wrong? And I could not. And so my lying was so casual because it was something I saw as needing to do every day so that I could just keep going through my life. Whereas their forms of lying were just so ostentatious and crazy that I was like, okay, so they're openly crying out for help. And I'm just going to sit over here and tell my normal little lies. And so it was an interesting dichotomy for me to observe as a child. And as an adult, be like, oh, wow, we're all hurting, weren't we? Sad little babies.
I was wondering if that was something you realized later in life, that you had to do that as a coping mechanism.
No, I think I was pretty aware of it from the time I was really young, because I knew that I couldn't, like, if my teacher asked me why I was upset, I couldn't be like, oh, it's because I have nail marks, like, on my arm up here. Like, I knew I couldn't say that, and so I'd just be like, oh, I'm really tired. And also, I was taught from a very young age that, you know, our business is our business. And I love my family, but we were very dysfunctional for a while. And so, it was ingrained in me that nothing should leave the home. And I don't even know who I would have trusted enough to tell, because, you know, none of these teachers really, with the exception of a couple of them, none of them made me feel particularly cared for or seen, especially because I used to get in trouble way more than the white kids for doing things that just did not warrant that level of punishment. And so I didn't feel like there was anyone I could talk to. What was a genuinely surprising revelation for me was, I remember I was in fifth grade and there was I would frequently do this. It happened a few more times in school where I would just ask like a quiet person in the class if they wanted to join our group or something, or if I was in a two-person project, I'd be like, do you want to join? And then the guidance counselor would leave little presents in my desk, because she would, in a note that said like, so-and-so has a really hard time socializing and doesn't have many friends, and it's really great that you reached out and brought them in. And I remember as a kid being like, I shouldn't be congratulated for this. This feels like just something I should have done. And so that was a surprising trait to learn that I had. Because I always thought that because of my own pain, I had trouble reaching out to others. And I was like, oh, maybe that's actually something that I could be good at if I allowed myself to be.
It's interesting. I know what you mean, where it's like, oh, kindness is a trait. Like, isn't just this the thing that should be automatic? And it's funny. I have a friend who's younger. He's a family friend, but he had a similar response where there was a kid on a trip who didn't know how to ride a bike. And so he said, I'm going to go rent two bikes, you and me. I'm going to teach you how to ride a bike today. And, you know, this kid was sort of an outlier who didn't have a lot of friends. And his dad said, like, Arlo, I can't believe that you did that. And Arlo was like, why wouldn't I want to be a part of someone learning something new and having a fun experience? But I thought that was so fascinating that that's something to comment on, sort of, instead of something that's by rote for the human race.
Yeah, I think we assume that it is, but actually we should probably encourage that more in children.
I wanted to ask you, Sydney, during that time, do you think that's when writing started being I don't want to say solace, but like that's when you sort of start investing your energy there.
I think, well, when I was young, my goal was always to write a book that they would turn into a movie that I could be in. Smart. Like that was the that was the only route I saw for, to put myself into a movie. And so it was funny because I'd be writing these things when I was probably 11. And I'd be like, okay, I'll probably take a little while for this to get published. So I'll make the character 16 so that I can play that when, because it's probably when the movie will be made. And then another year would pass and I'd be like, okay, well, I guess she's 16 and a half. And then I'd just like age it up a little bit. I have all these composition notebooks. But I really loved the idea. I was really anxious, but I really loved performing because I related to a Will Ferrell interview I saw when I was young where he talks about how when he does interviews he's really uncomfortable being himself and that's why he goes in character sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I really relate to that because I feel very comfortable being characters, but like if you asked me to host something I would get stage fright and I can't do it. Yeah. But I really loved performing and I loved being different people. And that was a sort of escapism for any mental stuff I was going through when I was young.
Yeah. Do you find that like what's your romantic situation before I ask my next question? Are you single?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to ask if you feel that like performance anxiety, if you wanted to call it that, but like that nervousness in terms of like first dates of like, I wish I could do like a character. Or I wish I could put on like some like absorb
clown
like,
mask.
I wish I could fucking wear my clown mask and my juggalo makeup.
Isn't that what makeup is? It's my clown mask.
My clown mask. I feel like when I go on a first date, I'm like already not going to be myself. Like there's no world where I'm going to be relaxed enough to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I feel like that goes into lying too, where all of a sudden I'm like, why did I just say I was interested in that? I loved like going like the outdoors. There's no world where I love the outdoors.
I very much feel when because I had undiagnosed whatever as a kid, like anxiety, depression, I feel when I have a mask on. And so when I'm meeting anyone for the first time, I can feel how comfortable I am immediately and whether or not I have to put that on. But first date wise, it's actually fun. I haven't been on many actual dates just because, you know, things are sometimes much more casual. But so I probably hadn't been on a date since November, December 2019. And then somehow during the pandemic, I met a dude and we went on a date in LA in November of 2020. And so it was almost a year between dates and I was like freaking out. I didn't know what to do, especially because the guy I was going on a date with is very normal and very kind and nice. And so my friend's mom was staying with her at the time and they both had to, because we were in a pod together, they both had to talk me down and like literally give me pointers and talk me through how to be on a date. I had to devote a therapy session to it.
Sure.
I didn't know what to do. But when I got there, luckily after like 10 minutes, I felt comfortable with him. But yeah, I agree. You do have to put on a mask, but I also feel like you do that in, maybe that's just me, most social situations, right?
No, are you kidding? I mean, I feel like this podcast has helped me become myself faster than usual.
Mm.
But I play it's sort of one of those things where, especially during like job interviews or meetings and stuff, sometimes I'm playing professional until years into it. I'm like, maybe I'm just professional. Like maybe I'm just acting professional because I know what I'm doing. But yeah, it's strange. Like I do think I have tended, and one subject I really wanted to talk about was lying by omission, because I feel like if any, I've like now the ways that I tend to be dishonest are by not sharing things. And I think similar to what you described as being a kid, I was very much like, nobody wants to hear this. And I'm very conscious of not like taking up time talking about emotional real estate. So even with Devin or, you know, with a partner, I would be like, I mean, it'll be fine. Whatever. It's fine. And only now am I like, oh, that's actually, I don't know, the weird balance of like, what do you invite in without just like emotionally throwing up on someone? And it's hard.
And yeah, I think I'm fortunate in the fact that I am impatient and direct as a person. So I've gotten to this stage in my life where if something bothers me, I'd rather just say something then stew on it, because I know that my brain will turn it over a million times and slowly make me dislike the person because I didn't just deal with it in the first place. But I do agree that I don't consciously try to lie now as an adult. Like, I went through that phase that maybe most kids do, maybe they don't, but most kids do, where you just lie for fun. Like, in high school, I pickpocketed some of my teachers during class, like in front of other people, and then I would give them back their things and pretend it fell on the ground.
Amazing.
What was wrong
with
me?
It's like Oliver Twist.
No, I love that. I love that for like a flashback character origin story. And then later you become like a bank robber, an FBI agent, two synonymous things.
But you said that you like to lie when you were like younger, lying for fun. And when I would go to parties, like putting on a persona at a party with your friends was like one of the most fun things to do. But I was so drunk all the time that I would I remember once being in line for the bathroom at a party, and this guy was like semi hitting on me. And I was like, my name is Whitney. Where do I go to school? Harvard. How do I get in? I'm a genius.
Wait, I did that too when I was, say young, but I did that all through college. And well, I say when I was young, literally like 2 years, a year ago, I was probably doing that. Like
when I was younger, that day in November.
No. But no. I hope he's not listening. I would do that too. Do you remember, how could you forget, Fire Festival, Billy?
Yes.
McFarlane. I would go to those Magnesis happy hours.
Okay.
Because I was studying in New York for the summer at Stella Adler, and my friend's uncle did PR for Magnesis. And so we'd get into the happy hours.
Wow, but I was only 20.
I didn't have a fake ID. And so
what
that
were they
was.
Like?
They were awful. They were
what do you think?
They were really
fun. I learned a lot.
$3.5 million. Yeah, how enriching. I made some of the best friends I've ever had. No, it was in a $3.5 million townhouse in the Village. We'd go. They had a bartender there. It was full of some of the most privileged people I've ever met in my life. I met a little person there who told me that he didn't believe in poverty or helping the poor because, you know, he wasn't born with a silver spoon and he pulled himself up by his bootstraps. So he doesn't believe that privilege really affects your ability to succeed in life. I was like, you of all people should understand that the world is not made equally for everyone.
Right.
And that people often get stuck in cycles of poverty, and that a lot of this is systemic. And just didn't want to listen to any of it. He was wearing a three-piece suit. He did not care. He was a finance bro. But yeah, it was that type of people, women who worked in marketing at Aeropostale, and they were really trying to rebrand the company. So here's a $30 off coupon. Go use that at a store. And yeah, please help. And then Billy would give out free membership to cool young black people that he met. There were these other black girls there, so those two other black girls and then me and my acting friend were were the only people there who didn't have like impressive jobs or come from super wealthy families. And so everyone there was fascinated by us because they couldn't believe, what the fuck is this? This girl's an artist for a living? Like, what is that? But I would lie there. People would ask me, to this day, people ask me my ethnicity and I just lie to them because I think it's a rude question.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do a British accent in bars so they wouldn't card me because white people love black people with surprising accents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Zoe. No, good. Thank you.
Like, wow.
Just stupid stuff. That wasn't good.
No, that was amazing. I'm like, no. Wow. I'll be like, oh, shrimp on the barbie.
I just lie all the, that's when, I guess I lie then. But not with my friends.
I think when you're in those environments than to give accurate details about yourself. Yeah, if you're at a Magnesis event.
Sorry, Caroline, I talked over you.
No.
Sorry, do you want to say what you said again?
No. I was only going to say that I'm hoping that you lied in those circumstances to literally protect yourself from what I can only imagine are the grossest men in New York City.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Devin, what were you saying?
I was just going to say, I want to publicly say that anyone who ever attends a Magnesis event should lie, and it's likely to happen again because... the guy, I haven't kept up with the case, but at the end of the one of the documentaries, I don't remember which one. Sorry, my details are really shaky on this, but I remember that he was in his bajillion dollar loft or whatever, Billy McFarlane, and he was basically coming up with the next scam and was like, I'm not going to go to jail. Nothing's going to happen to me. And why wouldn't he think that?
Deluded. I know that the system benefits him definitely, but as much as I believe in abolishing prisons, that man needs some type of, well, this is hard too, because a lot of the people he screwed over, I'm only mad that he screwed over the islanders.
Yeah.
I am mad that he screwed over those people, but all of the influencers he abandoned on that island, it's very really funny to me.
I know. No, I love it.
Yeah.
People who are I paid $30,000 to see Blink 182. I quit my job. I left my kids.
I wanted to ask you guys about lies you've told in relationships, if you feel comfortable talking about it.
Besides being a really good singer.
Yeah, besides that.
And that I could drive.
Yeah, I can start if you guys want.
I don't know if this is
a dud of a question.
I think, you know what, I would do stupid stuff. I would be I remember once when I was meeting up with a guy, I bought a New Yorker just to put in my hand. So I was like, hey, what's up? And he was like, it worked perfectly. He was like, oh, is that the New York? Oh, wow, you're an intellectual. And I was like, what? Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I was just reading this.
I guess.
It's fresh. Not. Anyway, so yeah, overall, I lied about not being an idiot.
I lied so many times about my relationship to smoking cigarettes because I smoked for so many years. I quit a year ago. But I was always, this is part of what I was thinking about in terms of when you're lying to yourself and it comes out to others, is that I always was lying to myself that I was in the process of quitting. I was no, I'm quitting in 1 week from today. That is the plan.
Now I just decided.
Yeah. Or I don't really smoke. I smoke after work every day. And so what is that smoking? Anyway, so I always lied to myself about it. And then I would lie to other people about it. That I would be I'm throwing out all my cigarettes tonight, and then my boy, whoever, significant other at the time, would be wait, your cigarettes are still here, you lied. And I was no, when I said it was true, but when it comes down to it, I don't think that's a huge ask. I don't think I can actually do that. So that was always hard. And sometimes I'm still since I quit, I'm it feels weird to not have something that I'm hiding or shameful about.
I feel it depends on the relationship level. I feel you don't have to tell an online date that much. They don't need to know your smoking history.
They don't need to know shit.
They really don't. Yeah.
You can face tune your whole face and body.
I'm 5'4 and just throw the date off. We've heard some stories about people lying about height. And I'm like, I always have to give the heads up that I'm like almost 6 feet tall. But now I'm just going to start saying I'm 5'7 and just show up towering over whatever the guy is.
Use a photo of what actor did I just look up? Okay. The guy from Hunger Games, who's not Liam
Hemsworth.
Josh
Hutcherson.
Yeah. So he's 5'7. So use a photo of him.
I doubt he's 5'. He's an actor's 5'7. He's probably like 5'5 at most.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I'm so sure. Like Tom Cruise is the same 5'5 at that.
Zac Efron, 5'7 probably.
Oh, no. I'm very good at celebrity heights. I
was like, oh, he's my height.
I too have been hoodwinked.
I have been bamboozled. I've been bamboozled.
There's this tweet going around that was talking about how Ja Rule cannot comment on anything happening because of the Dave Chappelle bit about Ja Rule, about how all these news networks, like a crisis would be happening. They'd be like, let's get Ja Rule on the phone. We've got to talk to Ja Rule. And it's just such a good bit. And it's also just so true, because now whenever I see him talk, I'm like, why the fuck would I listen here to Ja Rule? Even before the fire fest. Okay, but back to the question. Let me think. There was a guy that I spent like a year talking to, like truly a year talking to, and it was the most infuriating thing I've ever experienced. Like, it was only on Instagram Messenger. He pursued me for a date that revolved around the idea that we both loved Bigfoot. Like, we both love the theory of Bigfoot. And so we'd be like, oh, we're gonna get together, we're gonna watch this movie coming out, Smallfoot was coming out or whatever, where the whole Zendaya's Michi thing started, and we were like, okay, we gotta go see Smallfoot. And it just was maddening. And he'd be like, hey, like, Smallfoot. For a year, he'd drop Smallfoot in a conversation, and I would pretend like I was still interested, and I would pretend like I really wanted to do it. And then finally, after a year, we agree to hang out. We're going to get drinks. I worked out of a tequila bar at the time and got drunk accidentally before the date. And then, so I was late because I was drunk at the tequila bar. And then when I went to go get on the train, I ran into Cynthia Nixon, and it was election day in New York.
Oh my God.
And so I told her, I was like, I just wanted to say, I really love your campaign. I think you're great. I hope you win today. And she's like, thank you. Did you vote? And I was like, yes. But I was still registered in Virginia. And so at this point, I'm just like stacking up lies. I'm texting this dude. All of this shit. I get off the train, I'm running to meet him, and then I had to be like, it's the craziest thing, I had a 30-minute talk with Cynthia Nixon. It was so absolutely insane, but I talked to her for literally 2 minutes, but I told him that I was just talking to her for 30, and he was like, okay, I can accept that, because that's a good reason to
totally
be late.
Totally understandable, I mean.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it was so weird, because the entire time, things were really nice, but I could, inside, it's like I wanted to kill him. And so I looked at him, and I think he probably picked up on it, there was just like this under the surface aggression where I was like, I don't like you. And so we hugged goodbye. He texted me to make sure I got home safely. And then after this 4-hour date, we never spoke to each other again.
I know the feeling, and I actually haven't heard someone describe it that way, like where you do not like who you're on a date with. They haven't even done something offensive or anything. You're just like, you're bothering me so much.
Oh, he had jerked me around for like a year. I was done him. I don't know. So I guess the biggest lie I tell to myself sometimes is that I'm still interested in a man who has torn my heart to shreds.
Sure. Yeah. I understand that. I think that there is some self-deception that we do to just keep on dating men in general.
It's necessary.
I'm just going to try this little experiment again. I've been burned before. what do you guys think people should lie about? Because I personally believe that a guy, if I ask how I look to a guy, let's say before we're about to go out for dinner, I just can't, I will not, and I cannot take anything less than like, you look great, let's go. Unless sometimes like Devin will point out like I need to like run a hairbrush through my hair quickly before we like.
Okay,
on
that was one time.
No, but you're right. I'm saying like unless it's really constructive and like you can't show up looking like shit, it's rude to our guests.
Well, if you can fix it in 5 minutes, I think that. Yeah. And it's something that is constructive and not just like you look like shit. Then
it was. It yeah, was literally
like shit.
Carolina was. This was one of our first interviews, so like we were still like so nervous. Now we don't give a shit what you think of us. Just so you know, I'm kidding.
Oh,
but
good.
We were like nervous, good. And this was like a really exciting guest. And so like we get on the thing and the Zoom, and I was like, okay, like clearly Carolina's just like made a choice not to like prepare what she looks like for the Zoom, which is totally fine. I wasn't gonna say anything about it. But then Carolina said we were on with Olivia, our producer, and Hans, our other producer. And Carolina was like, do you guys think that like I look nice enough for an interview or something? And it was just like,
to be honest, no.
We were like, honestly, I mean, if the goal was look nice, then no.
The best is Hans said, yeah. Olivia said, yeah. And Devin just looked at me with like silent nodding, like, listen, like, I don't think a hairbrush would hurt.
I appreciate
that shirt
friend.
You're wearing. Yeah, no, I definitely appreciate that and need that, because at the time it was also like the start of the pandemic when I'd stopped like thinking about things like how my hair looked. But I yeah. basically I'll use the example. I once had a boyfriend. And we were going out and I like put on an outfit and I was like, what do you think? Are we good? And he was like, you don't even try for me anymore. And I didn't. Like, I was like, hey, you're right, but also fuck you. Like, both.
That's a valid response of,
yeah,
you might be right, but also fuck you.
Yeah. You're right. I don't try anymore. But also, you just say you look great. And, like, when I give options on what I should wear, I just say either. I don't know.
Find another way to say it.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Find a nicer way to say it. Maybe don't say it right before you're about to go
out. Oh, that's the worst. Right before you're about to walk out the door. Don't make me panic.
Luckily, and that's why that question was so hard for me to answer. I don't know if I've ever had like a real relationship. I've had hookups that go on for a while, or men that I come back to, you know, for brief flings. But it's very new to me, this experience of like dating someone consistently. And so I guess I just have a lot of things that I'll uncover.
Yeah.
And learn.
Yeah.
Have you been like, oh, sorry, Carolina.
No, go ahead.
I feel like I'm like Mrs. Talks Too Much on this.
Mrs. Talks Too Much.
I frequently think I'm like, oh, Devin hasn't said anything. We're talking over.
Also, I am definitely Mrs. like seek a compliment. Like I am like, oh, I think I'm talking too much, right?
Right? That's what you guys think.
I think I am like, oh, I really need to like start working out, right? Anyway, but what was I saying? Oh, I was gonna say, have you ever been like duped or like lied to by a casual thing? Because I feel like it almost comes up more, like we were saying, with like online dating or like casual hookups, where you're like, I don't really think that adds up, or like, I don't know. Are you like just hanging out with your sister right now? So have you come across that?
Yes. So the guy that I had been talking to for a year, and I told you about, I assumed that the reason he hadn't been like, he was always flirtatious with me, but he didn't really try for anything concrete. And I assumed that was just because he wasn't ready or he didn't know what to do. Like he was attracted to me, but he didn't know what to do. And then I learned from another friend who had gone to college with him, and so they had a lot of mutual friends, that he was sexting another girl while he was talking to me. And this girl told my friend, like, yeah, we're probably gonna have sex soon. And I was like, I went home and I just crawled into my roommate's bed, and I'm not usually that type of person who is like, give me physical affection all the time, friend. But I crawled into her bed and she had to spoon me.
Yeah. I was so upset. I completely get that.
Yeah. And then I had a thing with a guy during quarantine, and it wasn't so much so that I thought he was with another person, but he was one of those guys who starts taking SSRIs and thinks that he's the only guy in the world mm-hmm. who SSRIs like kill their sex drive or make it hard to come.
Yeah.
And it's like, I am a young woman. I'm like in my mid-20s living in Brooklyn. I've encountered this. You are not the first, and you are absolutely fine. And
right.
Also, we always have a good time, so I don't know why you're worried. But yeah, he would just blow me off or ignore me.
So like paranoid or concerned about it.
Seemingly, or like so yeah. just stuck in his own. He was one of those people who uses his mental illness as an excuse to be an asshole. Oh, when it's yes. like, no, you can be mentally ill and not be an asshole. Yep. And I used to think that I was an asshole, but now what I think is that I'm very kind, but I can also, I'm like not going to put up with any shit. So like mm-hmm. I can yeah. be mean, but I think I'm a kind person. But yeah, no, he was awful. And so he'd just blow me off. Like I'd send him a text that was essentially being like, do you want to see my naked body? And he'd mm-hmm. just ignore it.
The worst.
He treated me like shit. When I moved out to LA, I was like, I had ended things with him already, but I was like, you know what? It might be nice to have someone there when I get there just to hook up with. I run into him on the street. We finally have a talk after he's been dodging me, like all these texts. He had been trying to set up a plan with me and then kept dodging it. And then on the street was like, I was horrible to you. I was like all this shit. But basically at the end of it, I was like, yeah, like we could try again if you want. Because at that point, I was so depressed. But I was yeah. like, whatever. Like, yeah, he's treated me horribly, whatever. And he was like, oh, I'm seeing someone. He started seeing someone after I moved here.
It was insane. That he is going to be that person whether or not he is in a relationship or not.
Right.
Like, he is a miserable, mediocre person. And I finally accepted. I was like, you know what?
It's like, hard. Yeah.
He's just going to be like that forever. And any yeah. woman that he's with is going to be treated horribly. So,
yeah.
Good luck, girls.
Yeah.
Think that you always, at least I can't speak for everyone, I always think that someone is getting a better deal, or like they are going mm-hmm. to get a better experience with someone I had a bad experience with. And that's just never the case. Like mm-hmm. it's the same mythology of like a guy will change when he meets the right girl who yeah. like, and that's, you know, the same mythology that makes me think like, if I'm only just a little bit more like manic pixie dream girl, like I can make you commit or solve your weird dark insecurities. But mm-hmm. no, that guy has to keep being himself, unfortunately. Yeah. We got some doozies. We put a question box into our Instagram stories and asked our followers what the weirdest lie they've been told on a date or in a relationship is. And we had put question boxes in our Instagram stories before and gotten really funny answers. The answers for this one were fucking dark. Devin and I were texting each other like, did you guys check out the answers in the question box?
Yeah, like, I was like, I'm actually really sad today.
Wait, like, I'm so curious now.
And then I was like, I guess it is a dark subject, like when it comes down to it, lying is
but
a
you
dark
thought
subject.
It would be like, I'm a great scuba guy.
Exactly.
Like, I'm right, real
exactly.
good at scuba. And then
I
it's
mean,
not.
Yeah, clearly one of my best friends lies about fun stuff like getting a driver's
singing.
License or singing. So I was like, oh, that's what people lie about.
The New Yorker. Yeah. No, they lied about, let's see, there was some just people who were just saying he cheated on me.
Yeah.
I was like, I guess that is a lie, saying that. You
it
know,
is.
That you're not getting cheated on. Secret drug addictions,
yes.
secret Ooh. Republicans, like Jesus
yep.
Christ.
Two secret Republicans.
That they couldn't wear a condom for religious reasons. My favorite one was that his mom was Princess Diana.
Who?
And then she said, but I slept with him anyway, which I was like, love.
Love and identify.
That one wins. That one's amazing.
That one is so good.
False last name, which is, I honestly, at this point, I was like, false last name, that's it? Like, you're fine.
Yeah. I liked that his birth certificate was forged and he's actually 2 years younger than it says. So, quote, that should make up for my immaturity.
Okay. My other favorite was that he didn't call because he had brain surgery.
That one's insane. You expect it to be like, oh, I'm really tired. I'm sorry. I can't.
Why not just that? Yeah. I fell asleep.
No, but it's, I'm having brain surgery.
I was under the knife.
I was actually under the knife by Derek Shepherd, brain surgeon of Seattle Grace Hospital. So
he's the best in the country. So it's kind of a big deal.
I'll send you his ZocDoc.
He actually just passed away. So sorry.
Yes, he sadly passed.
He got hit by a truck. But I mean,
after saving multiple lives.
His sister's pretty good, though. She's getting surgery soon.
Another one was a big lie by omission. We were dating for a month before he admitted he had 4 kids.
No. That's an interesting one because I'm like, I don't know, like, do you have a responsibility? Don't you have a responsibility? Like,
you definitely do. Maybe I'm biased because I have 2 older half siblings who are like,
no, you definitely
18
do.
And 16 years older than me. But I like to think that when my 23-year-old mom met my 33-year-old dad, he was straight up like, hey, I've got 2 kids.
Right.
Yeah. It's mean to the kids at that point, too. I actually was going on a first date and was joking because I was running late. And I was like, I'm running 15 minutes late. I just have to tuck my kid in.
And oh, I know, like, that's a joke.
The guy was like, thankfully, very funny. So he was like, oh, okay. I just thought, never mind.
I went on this date with this guy. I'm not sure if I've told this story, but the date started with, he was like, well, I'm 27 years old. So, and I was like, oh, cool. And he was like, I'm kidding. I'm 29. And I was like, oh, like, that's not
so
funny.
So he was really funny.
And then I referenced Zoolander for some reason. Guys, I'm not perfect. I was nervous in the moment. I referenced Zoolander.
You were doing your great Blue Steel imitation.
What are we going to do? I was nervous. So I referenced Zoolander and he goes, oh, I've never seen that. And I was like, oh, it's actually pretty funny. And he goes, I'm kidding. Of course I've seen that. And I was like, I don't know you. Anything you tell me about your life, I assume is true. I've never met you before. Why would I assume, like, I don't get this? It was so crazy.
The age one is the craziest thing to me. Because it's not like he was like, I'm kidding, I'm 45.
I know. It's like, I'm 2 years older than that. Are you insane? What?
Are you insane?
I was like, gaslighting with you would honestly be really whimsical, I think.
Sydney, before we end today, do you have anything you would like to plug besides Renee and her constant adventures in the park with Atticus and his orange slices?
Yes.
And her glass of Chardonnay.
Not anything that's really concrete right now. So I'll just say my social media. I'm on Twitter at Sydney Battle. And on Instagram at Sid Battle. And if I'm doing anything, you'll probably find out about it there.
Great.
Thank you so much for coming on True Romance.
We have loved talking to you so much. Thank you.
And that was our guest, Sydney Battle. We are going to be right back with a listener's question for the pod. Stay tuned.
I want true romance.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
And we're back with True Romance. We got to shout out the True Romance Gmail account.
Yes.
TrueRomancePod@gmail.com. If you ever have a question, we love reading your emails. We really do. We've got a great email the other day. It was from a girl named Madeline. She wrote, "Dear Carolina and Devin, I've told all my friends about how much I love the pod, and they always laugh when I tell them it's about dating and relationships. I don't blame them because I've actually never been in a relationship. I get why it's confusing that I would spend an hour a week listening to something that is entirely unrelatable to me, but I actually think my lack of experience is what feeds my fascination. One of your guests made a comment in a previous episode that not having a relationship history may be a red flag when dating someone. What's your view on this? I'm 23 and feel like I should have had at least one relationship by now, and sometimes worry that my lack of experience may put people off. I don't have the motivation to use dating apps. I'm a horrible texter and had a few bad Tinder dates, and I'm not sure how to meet people with my busy work schedule, even outside the pandemic. Apart from my lack of motivation, I feel like I make friends with girls so easily but have difficulty establishing real friendships with guys where I feel comfortable being totally open. I'm straight, unfortunately. All of these things together make it hard for me to just put myself out there. Would love to hear your thoughts on that advice, which I get a lot, and how you approach dating when you're kind of in a rut." Thank you so much for this question. I have a bunch of thoughts, but I wanted to start with Devin because, Devin, you famously had a slow start when it came to dating.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because my first reaction to this email is like, 23? Oh my God, you're fine. Like, that's so young. But when I was 20 and I had never been in a relationship, I thought that that was the most devastating thing anyone could have gone through. And I felt so inexperienced and weird. And I felt like I couldn't connect to any pop culture because every TV show besides The Wire and every, like, famous book and every, like, so many things in our culture are centered around relationships that I felt like I don't get this. Like, I've never had a first date that turned into something. I've never had a first kiss with someone and they became my boyfriend. I've never told someone I loved them, like, all this stuff. So I've never been broken up with. Like, I couldn't, I remember thinking, like, I wish I could relate to breakup music, but I've never really had a breakup. I totally get it. And I felt like it was societally conditioned into me to think that that was weird. So what I'll say is, when I was 20 and I had never been in a relationship, I really wanted to be in a relationship. But if you don't want to be in a relationship, you definitely don't have to be in, like, don't let society tell you that that's what you have to be normal. I think it's totally fine to not want to be in a relationship and to, like, just, like you said, work a lot and be single and do your thing and, like, figure yourself out. That's probably for the best, as opposed to, like, rushing into relationships, which is what I did. But yeah, I mean, I think that for me, I just became someone who, like, made the first move all the time, first of all. And I just, like, got tired of the whole, like, I like this person. How do I find out if they like me back before I do anything? Because I don't want to embarrass myself. Like, what if they reject me? And I just started being like, I like this person. Like, okay, I like you. What do you want to do? Like, what are you doing? Come meet up, whatever. And like, just at like, do you have anyone you can set me up with? Is there going to be anyone single there? Like, I became that girl, which I get is like kind of embarrassing. But I just was like, I want to meet someone. That's it. And, you know, the things that I wish I didn't do at that time, I wish I didn't let the fact that I had never been in a relationship affect my self-esteem so much and lead me to like hang out with like, there was a couple like guys who had rejected me when I was younger who then would like text me and I would always respond, even though I didn't even really know them and didn't really like them. I just was like, oh my God, like if anyone will like me, then that's like I clearly no one likes me and I like no one ever wants to be in a relationship with me. That means I'm unattractive. I'm this, whatever. Like it didn't mean any of those things. It just was like the way things happened to go in my life that I didn't end up like being in a relationship with someone. And then when I really started putting myself out there, when I was dating, I just, first of all, I did commit a lot of time to it. Like, I think that it can seem, when you've never been in a relationship, it can seem like everyone understands a language that you don't, or everyone's doing something that you don't know how to do. And it seems like it's easy for everyone. Like, it's so easy for that person to get in a relationship, and that never happens for me. But the truth is, like, I just did what everyone else did, which is spend a lot of time on apps, spend a lot of time telling people that I wanted to be in a relationship, like asking them to set me up on dates, pursuing things, going out, going to parties, trying to meet people. And I am painfully shy with people I don't know. I actually have gotten physically ill before dates. Like, I have actually been sick to my stomach because I was so nervous. So it's not like I was like, going out on the town tonight, hope I like come in. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, is that them? What do I make eye contact? What do? Okay, wait, should I sit down first? Is he gonna sit down first? But like, it was horrible, but I did it anyway because I wanted to meet someone so badly. And so I think like that's helpful to realize, is that like dating sucks for everyone, and you just have to, like, for me, the hardest part was getting to the date. Like I was like, I always wanted to cancel. I always was like, I can't go. I feel sick. I feel ugly. I feel so disgusting. Like, he's not going to like me. I can't. And so I just would have to ignore, like basically be like, I'm going and it's non-negotiable. So I will be there. And that's what I had to tell myself. And then I would go. And then it's like so much less scary than you think it's going to be. And you just start talking to a person and there's no pressure, and leave whenever you want. And then, you know, see what happens. And if you really like someone, that's a whole nother thing, because then there's other fears that come with that. But basically, I would say, like, put the time into it if you want to, and yeah, get past your fears with it if you want to. And if you don't want to, that's totally fine. And also, I have at times judged men who haven't, straight men who haven't been in a relationship.
Not because of inexperience.
Because I'm like, why? There's something wrong with you if you don't want to be with a woman. A straight woman who doesn't want to be with a man, I will never not understand that. I will always think that that's the right choice. Like, that is 100% a healthy decision to not want to be with a man. Like, that is not weird at all.
I will say a couple of things which I really identified with. First was the busy work schedule. There was a period in my life where I was working so much. It was unrealistic to date. And when I say date, I don't mean like going out on the town. I mean, like, it was unrealistic for me to expect to be in a relationship when I was working 15-hour days every day and waking up at 7 a.m. to answer emails and going to bed at 11 p.m. answering emails. And as much as I was working, as much work as I was doing, I didn't want to be in a relationship. I had no emotional energy for it. And that amount of work brought me where I am today. So I can't really regret it. I the apps really freak me out, and not because they're inherently bad or anything. I've actually seen a lot of people with in happy relationships because of them. I think that if you're saying you don't have the motivation, then that's fine. You don't have the motivation. Don't force yourself into a situation you don't have motivation for because you want to be quote unquote normal. Speaking of that, I have dated men who don't have experience in relationships, and I never thought they were weird because of that. If anything, I was excited because I was like, oh, good, I don't have to worry about like an ex that I compare myself to or anything. I never thought like weird on them. The red flag for me is when I basically like have a crush on a fuckboy who has never been in a relationship because he's like just doesn't want to be tied down at all because he wants to like fuck his way through New York or whatever. And that's a red flag only because if I like them enough to want to be in a relationship with them, I have to be realistic and realize they do not want a relationship, period. So that's where the red flag aspect comes in. There's no red flag about having limited experience. I mean, it reminds me a couple of things. It reminds me in Trainwreck when Amy Schumer's like, how many girls have you had sex with? And Bill Hader's like, three. And she's like, oh, me too. I've had sex with three girls too. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. If anything, I think that's like very cool for someone to have limited experience because it means they take stuff like this seriously. You know, a lot of experience, little experience, it's really doesn't matter. And I also think of the end of 40-Year-Old Virgin. Spoiler alert, fast forward. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. And he's Steve Carell is so scared of telling his girlfriend that he's a virgin and 40. And when he finally does, she's like, that's a good thing. Like, why are you, you know, and it speaks a lot about just this like weird shame we have about our sexual experience, whether it's a lot or whether it's a little. And it's totally fine either way. So please don't worry about it from that angle. I would just think about what you want, not what anyone else wants you to have or perceives you are ever, like to really get in touch with what you want. And I'm speaking for myself a little bit there because a friend the other day was like, do you want a date at all? And my immediate answer was like a clear no, like not right now. I don't. I really want to focus on my work. I'm really excited about some projects I have going on. And I don't have the emotional energy to worry about the growth of a relationship. So if you're feeling that way, that's totally fine. You don't have to worry about the future if you'll feel that way in the future. There might be a day where you wake up and think, I want to be in a relationship. I've had friends who've had that experience and then they have done the apps and stuff like that. But for me, that's not my story right now. That could be my story in a year or 2 years. It's just not right now. And so I guess it's if you really feel like you're in a rut and you're lonely and you want to meet someone, I would go on the dates not to quote unquote meet your boyfriend, but to expel the fear from it because you said you have trouble being yourself in relationships with guys. So to really treat it like a social experiment, like I'm going to go on a date. I'm going to face this fear. And we had a guest, Jenny Hogan, who talked about going on Zoom dates. Like I'm going to go on a Zoom date. I'm going to talk to a guy. I won't have to go meet them anywhere. I won't have to do anything. And I'm going to have a conversation with a guy and practice being open around them. But there's nothing weird or wrong about your experience level. And I just feel like repeating that over and over until you take it in. If you're someone who's had a million relationships and can't stop dating guys, I would be more concerned that you were having trouble just connecting with yourself, but having limited experience with guys, no.
Yeah, I think like also socializing is something that I have literally had to practice and learn how to do. Yes. It doesn't come natural to me. Like when I met Carolina, I didn't even know how to like ask someone how their weekend was. I literally was like, hi. Yeah.
I remember when we met, I asked you, we're going to meet up and you texted me right beforehand. You said, thank you so much, by the way, for it was like you were applying for a job interview or like you said, by the way, thank you so much for inviting me to hang out. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, it's fine.
No, I just like have never really like been a natural socializer. But something about dating that was great was that I didn't have any online dates turn into a relationship, but it helped me so much with job interviews because I'm like a notoriously bad interview. Like I just am so awkward and I never know how to like sell myself and all this stuff. But online dating is just meeting strangers, which is the same thing as many other tasks in life. Like meeting strangers is a part of life that you have to learn how to do. And I noticed that it really did help me. Like on the next job interviews I did after this year of like dating, I was like, oh, I like know how to just make awkward conversation now. And I just didn't know how to do that before. So
that's so interesting. And it's funny hearing you talk about it because I think of you as a very social person who does it with ease. And as I've had led sort of a more isolated life because of a few different aspects, I have like had not envy in like a malicious way, but like, oh, like Devin does this so well and I need to get back in the habit of doing it. So I also think that's an aspect of it. You can fall out of the habit. There was a time in my life where talking to guys was so much fun. Flirting with guys, even when they didn't flirt back, was so much fun. And it was just this exciting sort of getting ready in New York point in my life. I wouldn't know the first way to do that right now. But I do have faith because of my past experience with it that you, quote unquote, get your groove back. So you will get your groove back. It doesn't have to happen tomorrow. And thank you for listening to the pod.
I hope I get my groove back.
Devin, I love you. Go get your groove back.
Love you, Carol. You already got your groove. You don't even got to get it back.
We'll catch you next time on True Romance.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true. True romance, it's so romantic. Love me, baby, don't leave me hanging. I want true.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.